Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. Well, here I am, late again in producing the program, and I have a really good excuse. Yesterday I went to a retreat that started about 8:30 in the morning, so I had to leave really early, and I didn't get back until after 6 o'clock. But in between, my plan had been to do the show when I got back, but in between, I seem to have gotten terribly car sick. Hadn't happened in years where somebody had to stop the car. And then when I got home, I just wasn't feeling right. So maybe it was also something I ate at the retreat, I don't know. But in any case, I never got to do the program because I went to bed as soon as I got home and stayed in bed basically until today. And today, well, to be completely honest, I got lazy. So, here we are, another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. I realize that I have a tendency in this podcast to skew gloomy, despite my profession, my true profession, my honest profession of the hope that is contained in the death and resurrection of Christ, and the fact that I am blessed weekly, if not more, by the most excellent supernatural tool, Jesus in the Eucharist. I'm sort of avoiding regular news. Well, I skim the news so that I'm not completely oblivious, but I'm not sitting in front of my streaming news sources because to do so really just shrinks my soul and engages my anxiety to a point of complete paralysis. And oh, lots of anger at the depths to which our once sane society will sink, as well as its blindness to real dangers globally, like the new axis, like alliances going on in the Middle East and between Russia and China, which will displace the dollar hegemony, and spiritually, God. God who? Although righteous anger might be acceptable, as a sinful human being, my initial righteous anger can degrade, and I just don't want that to happen. The reality of our world should be driving me indeed, but driving me toward the sine qua non, that is God. I ran across this phrase on Hallow this week, Hallow being an app for a Catholic Christian meditation on scripture and holy secondary sources. The quote was, or the phrase was, non nisi te domine, which means nothing but you, Lord. And that's what really has become more urgent to me. And I'm noticing urgent to not a few of my Catholic compatriots at my parish, which gives me hope for my own journey. So I was thinking I really should talk more about, well, happier things. And then I found myself watching a Japanese documentary called Lonely Death that almost sent me down that gloomy rabbit hole again. Fascinating and not inapplicable to our nation, it was about the reality in Japan that with their birth rate so low and a culture that values privacy, a courteous acceptance of the privacy of others, people of a certain age, the single elderly, even those with some extended family, often die alone and undiscovered for periods of time in their homes. It's gotten so bad there that there's an entire industry geared to going into these homes and cleaning up the detritus of what was formerly a human being, forgotten by his or her neighbors. Does that happen here? I know it does. I have heard of it more than once, but our culture seems a little different in that we don't hang on to the idea of privacy as much, and we might inquire earlier if we don't see someone for a period of time. In the documentary, one of the neighbors actually says that it isn't the job of a neighbor to check because of the idea of respecting privacy. Anyway, I thought there might be something for me to talk about in this arena because, especially since the COVID lockdown, we are seeing so many older people hiding away, not going back to their churches after the lifting of their restrictions, afraid probably of contamination and thus close connection, and of my experience of the spiritual aspects, but then, perhaps happily, a reading this week during my efforts at a holy hour, sent me in a different direction. Not necessarily a less confusing one, but a seriously happier one. It was one of the daily readings during the last week, and here it is, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, Lo, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. For I create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. He dies a mere youth who reaches but 100 years, and he who fails of 100 shall be thought accursed. They shall live in the houses they build, and eat the fruit of the vineyards they plant. Well, my crowded little mind swept back to my recent reverie about the Rainbow Bridge, because I lost my cat, and the desire, and I guess the hope, that I would see not only my family and my friends in heaven, which we are told we will, but also my many pets, including the late Tipper, and the many I had before, which we are generally told we will not, though that debate rages. And then I wondered, quite frankly, I hadn't read that much before, and what reading I have done for this day's podcast doesn't, as I probably say about every one of these subjects, doesn't scratch the proverbial surface. How does, I thought, the beatific vision fit into the new heavens and new earth thing that Isaiah talks about, and Revelation as well? I have understood, and I use that word loosely, because, as in so much, these things are a mystery, that the beatific vision, which is our direct intuition of God, is so perfect as to suffice of itself, and, one could argue, excludes any need for things comparable, or better even, than to our lives here. By thinking about the direction of this week's podcast toward this new heaven and new earth was sealed, like on Thursday when I was at my bone strengthening program. Yes, I go to a very short weekly activity, I will call it, to deal with the dangers of osteoporosis, to use these machines that are supposed to help grow weakened bone naturally without resort to chemical infusions. I don't know yet if it's working. I'm only 6 months in, but I can tell you that the experience always makes me feel good. I leave as if I've had a massage. It has some new agey aspects in that there is this electromagnetic charger, which is supposed to help with various ailments like inflammation or mood. Now, I'm a bit skeptical of that part of things, but I like the action of the machine, and you get to watch these relaxing videos on a big screen. Thursday's video must have been taken in some paradisal part of the world, you know, a Bali or Turks and Caicos. Clearly some amazing vacation resort where there were these modernized thatched huts on crystalline turquoise water, some of these buildings having pools over the water that they were already, the huts were already built over. And these balconies just opened onto the blue, sunny vastness, truly so unspoiled as to be heaven on earth to view. So, well, it was decided that I would go into this subject in my verbal noodling with you about being a Catholic, rather than the challenge of being a Catholic to be a person of faith. If a new heaven and a new earth combined with the beatific vision were this, phew, wouldn't it be almost too much? Yeah. No, I guess that's the point. It would be just right. Perfection. If I had just a portion of the feeling that I had watching this earthly vacation spot in heaven, it could never get boring. And have God encompassing me, intuited by me in a way that can't be done here on earth, through that glass darkly, that sometimes distorted glass, I truly can't imagine, but it makes me exhale a breath of pure relief. I'm not going to solve anything with this podcast, any more than I solve anything with the other podcasts, but I am, as I hope I do, pointing our looking, your looking, to what we are told as Catholics about our experience after death, should we be granted that eternal reward, if we have conformed our will to that of the Trinitarian God. If you decide to take a look at the same stuff, it will truly bend your mind, but boy, is it hopeful stuff to those who believe, or want to believe. I think one of the good places to go if you want answers about our faith, and there are quite a few, but one of them is the Catholic Answers or Catholic.com. Someone asks, why is there going to be a new heaven at the second coming, and why do we need a new earth? Shouldn't we all be in heaven? And the answer is, no, he says, or the writer says, you're referring to what is presented in Revelation 21, 1-5, which also refers, as does Isaiah, to a new heaven and a new earth. And they'll go on to say, in short, the phrase a new heaven and a new earth refers to what heaven will be like for us as resurrected, glorified human persons. That is, a three-dimensional reality that thus accommodates aspects of our physical earthly experience, though in a glorified manner. Another source I don't think any of us go to nearly enough is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the second edition. It has everything you need to know about the faith. Naturally, I went there first, or second, to take a look and see what is said about new heaven and new earth. And the part I'm going to quote from, there's a lot here. There's always a lot. And it's from Part 1, The Profession of Faith, Section 2, The Profession of the Christian Faith, Chapter 3, I Believe in the Holy Spirit, Article 12, I Believe in Life Everlasting. I'm skipping to Section 6 of this article, The Hope of the New Heaven and the New Earth. I'm skipping thereby over hell, which we pray none of us goes to, over the Last Judgment, and over purgatory. I suggest we read that later at another time, all of us, me, you, everybody. But I'm staying at Section 6 because it's kind of long. And it starts at Section 1042, or Item 1042, and it says, at the end of time, the kingdom of God will come in its fullness. After the universal judgment, the righteous will reign forever with Christ, glorified in body and soul. Just as the Catholic Answers folks said, the universe itself will be renewed. The Church will receive her perfection only in the glory of heaven, when will come the time of the renewal of all things. At that time, together with the human race, the universe itself, which is so closely related to man and which attains its destiny through him, will be perfectly reestablished in Christ. Paragraph 1043. Sacred Scripture calls this mysterious renewal, which will transform humanity and the world, quote, new heavens and a new earth. It will be the definitive realization of God's plan to bring under a single head, quote, all things in Christ, things in heaven, and things on earth. Paragraph 1044. In this new universe, the heavenly Jerusalem, God will have his dwelling among men. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. 1045. For man, this consummation will be the final realization of the unity of the human race, which God willed from creation, and of which the Pilgrim Church has been in the nature of sacrament. Those who united with Christ will form the community of the redeemed, the holy city of God, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. She will not be wounded any longer by sin, stain, self-love that destroy or wound the earthly community. The beatific vision in which God opens himself in an inexhaustible way to the elect will be the ever-flowing wellspring of happiness, peace, and mutual communion. Paragraph 1045. For the cosmos, Revelation affirms the profound common destiny of the material world and man. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, in hope because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. 1047. The visible universe, then, is itself destined to be transformed so that the world itself, restored to its original state, facing no further obstacles, should be at the service of the just, sharing their glorification in the risen Jesus Christ. 1048. And this is a clarification about essentially the mystery, it seems to me, We know neither the moment of the consummation of the earth and of man, nor the way in which the universe will be transformed. The form of this world, distorted by sin, is passing away, and we are taught that God is preparing a new dwelling and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, in which happiness will fill and surpass all the desires of peace arising in the hearts of men. And I'm skipping now to 1060. At the end of time, the kingdom of God will come in its fullness. Then the just will reign with Christ forever, glorified in body and soul, and the material universe itself will be transformed. God will then be all in eternal life. If you spend some time doing a little research, you find out that our new bodies will have certain characteristics. Among them is something called impassibility or incorruptibility. Another one is called clarity. A third is called agility. Another is subtlety. Well, incorruptibility is pretty easy. It means that, you know, we won't be subject to illness and sickness and death, and we won't hunger, we won't have any kind of thirst. Things won't bother us physically. Clarity is something along the lines of like the way Jesus looked at the Transfiguration. It's like, wow. That's the best I can come with that. Wow, body. Agility speaks for itself. I guess I think of it as the transporter of the mind. You just think where you want to be, and there you are. Our bodies will be physical, but they'll also be spiritual, kind of like Padre Pio could go to places and pass through doors, and obviously Jesus, after his resurrection, could pass through doors. That's considered subtlety. After doing what reading I have, I'm still not 100% sure how it all works together, but I don't think I'm supposed to know, being a human limited being. The way I see it, though, is think of your best day in the best place with the best relationships squared to a power we can't even imagine. And that's how heaven will be. That's how the combination of the transformed earth and our transformed bodies and the beatific vision will be for us. As I was recording, it came to mind a part of one of the sermons of John Henry Newman in his parochial and plain sermons. It's actually in one of the first parts of first sermons in the book called Future Blessedness. But there are certain prerequisites, call them conditions precedent. They're not imposed by God, but if we want this incredible experience for eternity, one thing is that we have to want it, and that's something that starts here on earth. And two, therefore, we have to become holy in order to experience it. What got me on this is that here I'm saying, I really want heaven, and I'm imagining that everybody wants heaven. If heaven exists, if you hope that heaven exists, if you believe that heaven exists, but what I recall from this particular section of the homilies of John Henry Newman is that he said that there may very well be people who do not want heaven, do not want the transformation, because heaven, he says, is like a church. Everything in a church is solely about God. Everything in heaven is solely about God. He says that to be holy is that we have to completely separate from sin, to get away from the works of the world and the devil, and to want to keep God's commandments. And he then notes, which is rather interesting, that a man of unholy life would not be happy in heaven. So it wouldn't be a mercy to let him enter, because the one subject that would be the center of everything, always, eternally, would be God, the one thing that he wasn't interested in on earth. Like this paragraph that John Henry Newman says, "When, then, we think to take part in the joys of heaven without holiness, we are as inconsiderate as if we suppose we could take an interest in the worship of Christians here below without possessing it in our measure. A careless, a sensual, and unbelieving mind, a mind destitute of the love and fear of God, with narrow views and earthly aims, a low standard of duty and a benighted conscience, a mind contented with itself, unresigned to God's will, would feel as little pleasure at the last day, at the words, 'Enter into the joy of thy Lord,' as it does now at the words, 'Let us pray,' nay, much less, because while we are in a church, we may turn our thoughts to other subjects and contrive to forget that God is looking on us, but that will not be possible in heaven. Holiness is the key to this incredible experience. You don't have to go, but if you want to go, that's the price of admission. I don't know about you, and I think I might have said this before, but in a way the world is today, the insanity, the decrepitude, the insanity, in a way, the effect it's having on me, and I think it's having the same effect on a lot of other Catholics and perhaps a lot of other people of faith, is that it's making me more long for becoming holy, and so to have finally the kind of existence eternally that seems to be impossible here, that I know is impossible here because this life is short. If anything, the craziness of this world is making me desire to detach from the world, to look towards something that is more tangible, even though mysterious. The more pronounced the rejection of God, the more is proof to me that God is what needs to be sought. So in a sort of paradoxical way, I'm grateful for the environment in which I'm finding myself because it's created an urgency in me that I don't think I would have otherwise had. Anybody who would say to me, well, heaven's going to be really boring, even a new heavens and earth is going to be boring, I'd say, given the creation that I have seen around me that somehow still manages to peek through despite human tawdriness, no, I think it's going to be pretty great. What about you? Well, as usual, thank you for listening to this little podcast, Ordinary Old Catholic Me. If you're enjoying it, let your friends and family know about it. I've gotten a few more hits over these last months, and I'm really grateful, but you know what? Even if one person's enjoying it, I'm happy. And I at least know one person who's enjoying it very much, and a shout out to her. Take care.